Greetings to everyone listening to the TBH podcast. To be honest, we have a lot of sketchy thoughts and we would love to share them with you. Join us,
Manya,
Seher,
and Nat,
for your weekly dose of funny banter, our somewhat controversial opinions, and honest conversations. You can expect a wide range of topics from TV show reviews to childhood nostalgia, from the latest trends to Gen Z culture. Don't worry, we will spill the tea as well. So in our last episode, we actually shared some of our unpopular opinions and we also reacted to the unpopular opinions that you guys sent to us via our Instagram. But honestly, one episode wasn't enough to cover all of them. So we decided to split it into two parts. So this is the second part. So if you guys haven't listened to the previous episode, please do check that out.
Yes, because that was very juicy and very controversial.
Yeah, so without wasting much time, let's dive into some unpopular opinions. I'm going to go first. So my first unpopular opinion is that The Office is not that funny.
Damn.
And I know I'm going to get attacked for this, but let me explain. So I have watched a few episodes of The Office. And I'll admit I haven't watched the entire thing. But from what I've watched, I figured that Office is a cringe comedy. So characters are cringy and it's uncomfortable and awkward and that's supposed to somehow be funny.
Mm.
And I feel like this concept worked for, say, like the early 2000s, late 2000s. But I feel like cringe comedy would not work today. And I feel like as a show, it hasn't aged very well.
But why do you think it's not aged very well?
First of all, I feel like a lot of the jokes, they're very homophobic, transphobic, sexist.
Right, okay,
But I think The Office was recently made, right? Even then, like, it was...
No, The Office is actually quite old. I think it's from 2005.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
It's actually...
I'm talking about the American one.
Yeah.
Okay, so, no, sorry. Actually, I thought it was, like, recently made because there was so much hype around it recently only. And everyone was saying The Office is much better than Friends, the show.
Yeah, there are so many comparisons.
Yeah, so I actually haven't watched it, but I had like high hopes and I actually thought it was a good show. And it had some really good comedy.
So I went in with that mindset that it would be a good show. But I feel like cringe comedies don't work.
Wow.
Like, I don't think they would work today. I don't think a show like Office would work today. And I'm not saying it's not a good show. It probably is. But I just personally don't find it funny. And I don't think it's that funny.
Yeah, like it was not your cup of tea.
Yeah,
basically.
It was not my cup of tea.
Got it.
I think I'm more into the sitcom format.
So something like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
Or like Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when we talk about Schitt's Creek, I feel like Schitt's Creek was promoted as a sitcom. But I feel like it's not funny enough to be a sitcom. Now, I'm not saying it's not funny. But I just feel like it doesn't fit into the conventional sitcom.
I agree. I feel like Schitt's Creek isn't exactly a sitcom. It's a comedy, but it's not a
sitcom. It's not a sitcom.
I feel like there's almost a distinction. Because when we talk about sitcoms, sitcoms are situational comedies. I don't feel like Schitt's Creek really comes under that category. Like, it's very funny, obviously, but... Yeah, when I think of a sitcom, I think of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, How I Met Your Mother,
Big Bang Theory.
Like, that's what comes to my mind.
Yeah, and they have a format, right? Like,
like
jokes, punchlines. You know, it's just consistent. Like, every 3 minutes, there's something funny going on. There's some punchline, there's some sort of joke. And I feel like with Schitt's Creek, it's not that. It's just not like that. So when I watch the show, I don't go in thinking, oh, it's a sitcom. I go in thinking, just a fun show about a family. And it's funny in parts.
Right.
Because I went in thinking it was a sitcom and I was a little disappointed. I was like, this is not a sitcom.
But I
hung around and it's actually a really good show. And I feel like it's a very good show character development wise. It's also funny in parts. But it's not a sitcom. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Right. So what about you, Manya? What are some of your unpopular opinions?
Okay, so I just think Driver's License is overrated. Like, there was so much hype around it when it came out, and you know, I might be attacked for this, like, but I don't know, I feel like Driver's License wasn't the best from the whole Saw album.
Okay,
I think I disagree. I feel like Driver's License is a good song, and this is probably an unpopular opinion on top of one more unpopular opinion, but I actually prefer driver's license over good for you. I don't know, I'm just into that. I like driver's license better as a song.
I like driver's license more than good for you.
I mean, if I were listening to like the album, you would probably like catch me hearing driver's license more than good for you. I probably wouldn't ever be playing good for you unless I'm like watching it on a reel or something. That's genuinely the only time when I listen to the song. Otherwise, I don't really listen to it. Same. At all.
That's exactly opposite for me, because I never listen to driver's license except for when it's on some reels or something.
Mm-hmm.
But good for you, like, I can normally listen to that.
Right. I don't know what it is, but I think it's again a case of overkill that the song has been played so many times. I mean, so has driver's license, but good for you definitely way more. I mean, at one point there were those trends on reels, etc.
Yeah.
So it just became too much, and I just don't like it anymore.
I get that. Okay.
Yeah, but it's a catchy song. You know, if it's playing at some, if it's playing out, I will definitely hum to it or whatever. But I'm not gonna actively listen to it on my own. Is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Right.
Nevertheless, I mean, I do feel like driver's license, like, she had some really good vocals in that song, but it just didn't sit well with me personally. So yeah, that's why I say what I say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like I say, like, you know, music is very subjective. So true. Even from one artist, you might like one song, but you also may not connect with the other one at all. So I mean, it makes sense.
Okay. Right. Say, what about you, your unpopular opinion?
Okay, so mine's not related to music or TV shows. It's actually an unpopular opinion related to food, but I have to share it. I think that aloo paratha is supremely overrated, and mooli paratha is much better. Mooli ka paratha.
Okay, you know what? I find gobi ka paratha the best for some reason. So
excuse me, I'm an aloo paratha stan, and I just want to say aloo paratha is way better than mooli ka paratha.
No, I'm telling you, mooli ka paratha is so much better. And I know, and this is crazy coming from, you know, this might sound very weird coming from someone who is half Punjabi or whatever, but I just don't like aloo paratha that much. I like any other kind of paratha. I like mooli, gobi. I even like sweet potato paratha.
Oh god,
people are having sweet potato parathas. What does the world come to?
I mean, I am
aloo paratha is literally my comfort food. Like,
I love parathas, but I don't like aloo parathas. I prefer mooli ka paratha with mango chutney.
Okay, mango chutney is fine. I mean, I also like that, but... Oh, man.
When you say chutney, do you mean like achar?
Yeah, like yeah, achar. Like, yeah, it's achar. A pickle, yeah. But I just call it chutney.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean, like the mango pickle. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, no, I have to disagree, dude. I love aloo paratha. Nat is giving such a disappointed look right now.
I don't know what it is, but I just find aloo paratha so, like, it's not the best paratha out there. There
the
are
kind
so...
of people we have to live with.
Fair. Okay.
I mean, I guess I respect your opinion.
Nat does not respect my opinion.
I do not, and I'm going to be vocal about it.
Right, so tell me, why aloo paratha over mooli paratha?
Because it's aloo paratha, dude. I feel like it speaks for itself.
Just because it's popular, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily better.
I don't like mooli. I don't understand mooli.
Right. I don't know. I think it's also because I grew up eating a lot of aloo paratha, but then once I started eating mooli paratha, I realized that it was just better, you know, plain and simple. And maybe at first when you eat it, you're kind of like, ew, what is this? I miss my comfort aloo paratha, but it grows on you.
I think.
Not taking advice from a girl who eats Bengan every day.
Well, oh damn, we just
Bengan is very good, guys.
And Bengan is disgusting.
It's so good. Oh, and God. Yes, I am, and no, I am not someone who eats healthy or claims to eat healthy, but genuinely Bengan is one of the better vegetables out there. Aubergine, brinjal, Bengan, all the same thing.
Yeah.
It really is one of the better vegetables out there.
No.
I bet you're the type who likes Loki.
Yuck, no. Okay, no. Wait, no.
Which one is Loki?
Oh my God, Nat, get your
really bad at vegetables.
Loki.
Dude.
Bitter gourd.
No, is it? Wait, I'm confused now. One second. I don't know the English name for it. Hold up, I'm gonna Google it.
I thought that was Dudi.
I don't know. Isn't that bottle gourd?
Shut up. I'm actually
going to making stuff
Loki's up. Loki's apparently bottle gourd.
Wait, Loki is Dudi.
No!
What? Wait, what?
Guys, how does it look?
Guys, listen to us argue over vegetables. I am here.
This is Loki. Yeah.
This is Loki.
So, cucumber.
No, it's not cucumber.
Cucumber is different.
Are you crazy? Dude. Please. That's...
Nat is messed up.
Dude, Nat, please. Cucumber, Loki, Dudi, these are all different vegetables.
Dude, it looks different from the inside. What are you seeing? See a cross-section
picture. I cannot
picture.
Believe it. She just said that cucumber is the same as Loki.
Okay, I don't think
okay,
I
let
like
me show
Loki.
Let me show you Loki ki sabzi, then you'll understand.
Yeah, Loki.
Like you're not understanding Loki the vegetable. Guys, this sounds like a simple samosa conversation we're having over here.
Honestly, I'm shook at the fact that people are just gonna listen to us argue over vegetables.
Oh God.
I'm telling you.
And what I mean by simple samosa conversation is that it's like a dumb conversation.
Yeah.
Bro, look, this is Loki ki sabzi.
Yeah, my mom never makes this.
By the way, I just showed Nat a picture of the Loki sabzi. So.
Because she apparently, in her 18 years of living in India, has never ever heard of Loki ki sabzi in her life.
No, I've heard of Loki, but I get confused between Loki, Dudi and cucumber.
How?
But cucumber is...
Oh my God, Nat.
How does a cucumber look?
Cucumber is like...
The cross-section of a cucumber and Loki is so different. What's wrong with you? Like, the inside of a Loki is just like white. The inside of a cucumber is like green and it has like all these seeds. I'm like, oh, what is
exactly.
What is wrong with you? I'm getting triggered over here.
I feel so attacked.
Have you been, and I don't think a cucumber like sabzi exists like in a curry form.
I've never eaten that.
Obviously not. It's always just served as like side salad.
Look at the cross section of a cucumber. It's so different.
Oh, is that how it? Oh. No, you knew this. This is impossible.
Stop. I'm confused. They all look green. They all are the same.
I need to have a conversation with Auntie. Just, this is, wow.
Okay, moving on.
So my unpopular opinion is that Fifth Harmony was kind of overrated.
Oh my God.
And yeah. I know I'm here attacking another fandom, but I feel like
We may as well name this episode Nat Attacks Fandoms.
Yeah. You did this last episode also.
I am firing shots. Like, anyway, so I'm not saying they were not talented. They were incredibly talented. And I think all the girls have amazing vocals. But I feel like the company, Simon Cowell's company, just did not explore their potential enough.
Mm.
You know, I think they could have done better with Fifth Harmony. As a band.
I think the issue that I notice with bands like Fifth Harmony and One Direction are that they don't willingly start a band. They started a band because they were all on X Factor and, you know, they were kind of put together that, oh, we think these group of girls and these group of guys for One Direction respectively will go well together. And their whole kind of music and branding, it's all been manufactured by a record label. So, you know, that's why it doesn't feel as genuine. And I feel like that's why bands such as, you know, like Fifth Harmony and One Direction are kind of bound to break up eventually. It's because they didn't start off making music together willingly. They were placed together on a show.
That's true.
Right. So I don't know. I think that's kind of the main reason why they don't really last very long. And also you know, it's like when you're signed to a huge record label, ultimately you are an employee of that record label, and you're not making music that you like. It's you're making music so that, you know, the record label can make more money. So they tell you like what's popular, what will top the charts. You most likely won't even write your own music. I'm pretty sure Fifth Harmony
they
never,
did not. They didn't I don't write, think they wrote their own
they
music.
They didn't write their own music, right? So other people are writing it for you. So you genuinely have very little creative control. And I think that's what kind, and it shows, right, in the quality of music. Like I know some people may disagree, but I feel like since Camila and even Lauren, for that matter, even Normani, really importantly, once these three left the band, or like once the band just ceased to exist, I feel like their music became exponentially better.
I agree.
For me personally, I like Normani's music the most. And I think, you know, when she was in the band, you would have never known that that was kind of her potential. But after she left the band, you know, when you saw Motivation or any of her other songs, that's when you actually know what they're truly capable of.
I haven't heard a lot of Normani songs, but I've heard Lauren and Camila songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they sound more authentic now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. Because you're not putting up a... You know, it's like, it almost feels like you're putting up an act, you know, for the world to see. Like Fifth Harmony, the band, it was basically the work of this record label.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, we brought together five girls from, you know, different parts of the US, and now you guys are pop stars.
Also, they were not treated that well. Mm-hmm. And Psycho Records has like, Simon Cowell's company has a history of not treating the artists really well.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened with One Direction. Same thing happened with Little Mix.
Right.
Happened with Fifth Harmony. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, right. I disagree with everything you guys said. Like, this was a very logical explanation as to, you know, why you would think they're overrated and stuff like that. And why, like, the band just did not work out. So, yeah, I think this is a very logical explanation.
So, Mania, what's your unpopular opinion?
Okay, so this is, like, it's a unpopular opinion about a relationship.
Ooh, it's getting juicy.
Yeah, I feel like, I'm just gonna say it. So, you cannot change someone. And what I mean by that is just, I think people need to stop trying to, be the other person's like significant other's therapist, and stop providing them therapy and stop trying to like change them, or, you know, trying to make them better and be so involved in that. I just feel like it's just not it. Like,
basically you can't fix your partner.
Yeah, and it won't help. It's so,
I think it's very unhealthy to even try to fix your partner.
It's toxic, it's unhealthy. And just go meet a therapist. You don't need to be their therapist. Like, tell them to go meet a therapist.
No, that's very true. I feel like I couldn't agree with... Like, I agree with you, because I think a lot of people, when they get into relationships, this idea has almost been romanticized that, you know,
yes,
I can save my partner if he or she or whoever is going through issues. I can be the savior. I can be the changing force. While in some cases, maybe you could be the reason that they want to change, it is not up to you to enforce it, or it's not up to you to police them.
Also,
I think that makes the dynamic very strange, honestly.
It can also be emotionally draining for you if you're trying to be the therapist all the time.
No, and to a certain point, I feel like it's okay, but beyond that, it just gets emotionally taxing.
Yeah, I agree.
I get that, and like we discussed earlier, I think that this has just become really romanticized because of movies, and especially teen movies, where it'll always be like, there'll be that one messed up guy who just needs the one woman, one woman or one girl to save him.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
I think that trope has been so overdone that it obviously translates onto real life, where people start believing that dynamic could work out, but it's actually toxic for both people.
Agree, and I think love can change you, but to a certain extent, it can't change you completely. Like, your personality is not going to change.
Yeah, and more than anything, I think it's almost, in my opinion, selfish to expect the person, your partner, to play the role of, you know, like you said, your therapist, your savior, per right. se, and also, you know, the person who's going to put you out of them, out of your misery. Like, you need to, I mean, they could help you, but depending solely on your partner, I think, is not healthy.
No, I 100% agree.
Yeah,
yeah.
Me too.
And also, since you mentioned the movie, I also remember another example. I saw this illustration on Insta where it was like this devil, and there was this girl who was like an angel, and she was like, you know, pulling him out of the whole hell and shit like that. And I was just so, I did not like that post. It was so, it was such a typical, like, oh, this is like a typical movie, and like this is so romanticized, as you said, and I did not like it.
Yeah, I think it's just become very common now. I think every teen movie has just become generic, and most teen movies would have this kind of situation. I mean, I can think of 10 at the top of my head.
Yeah.
Also, like, I feel like I see how my 12-year-old, like, how 12-year-old me would just be like, yes, that is love, and like, yes, that is so good. Like, I would not realize that is actually so toxic.
Exactly. And that's so true. I feel like, you know, because TVs and movies kind of really play on this stereotype, and it's been going on in real life, obviously, that as kids, you know, when I, same with me, when I was 12, 13, I genuinely believed, wow, this is so romantic, you know, she saved him from his issues,
yeah,
and it's just
the whole bad boy thing,
the whole bad boy the changed bad boy, but it's actually so toxic, and it's incredibly destructive in a way.
Yep, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next opinion. Are we all done? Sarah, you have one left.
Yeah, I do have one left.
Okay, go ahead, shoot.
Okay, so I think my unpopular opinion is that in recent times, we have not had, I mean, it's not really, I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion, but this is just something I felt like I needed to share. I think in recent times, we have not had a good teen franchise, film or TV show for that matter. I feel like, you know, in the early 2000s, we had High School Musical, we had Camp Rock, we had
Mean Girls.
We had
Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde. But I think in recent times,
there was Princess Diaries.
Princess Diaries, yeah. As well. Exactly. Exactly. Movies, right? Like a franchise.
These like iconic movies.
Yeah.
Save me from the To All the Boys and Kissing Booth. Like, I can't with those movies.
Okay, so to be fair, I think that To All the Boys Part 1 was good. I liked that.
But it wasn't
But after
iconic.
That, I didn't like it.
I feel like it wasn't iconic, like Mean Girls or Legally Blonde. Though.
I think it's not going to sustain itself over the years. Like, you
I
know,
agree,
for example, with even The Fault in Our Stars, for that matter, I think is such a good teen, young adult story, but now that it's been 6-7 years since that came out, but I'm saying since, I would say at least The Fault in Our Stars, we haven't had a really good teen story. I just don't think we have had one, because, you know, when I think about it, you know, 10 years from now, I can't even think of one quote from To All the Boys or even Kissing Booth, for that matter. You know, that still remains and still kind of is used today. But with Mean Girls, people still, till present day, dress up as Mean Girls characters.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Exactly. They still quote the movie. There are so many quotable lines in the movie.
Yeah.
And everyone, even if you haven't watched Mean Girls, everyone knows at least one quotable line in the movie.
I agree, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just think that we've not had a good teen story in at least 6 years that's going to be remembered.
Yeah, I agree. So, okay, guys, now let's move on to some of the audience's unpopular opinions and react to those. Okay, so I have the first one here. I don't think it's an unpopular opinion, but I'll just still read it out. If you have a boyfriend, you should treat him with respect as well. He takes care of you and you of him. And you guys take care of each other. It's not all him or her. I mean, I feel like this is not an unpopular opinion.
I agree, but I feel like a lot of times, this is what I've seen, girls kind of expect boys to make the first move. Like, oh, he should walk up to me in the bar and ask me out. Or, oh, he should propose to me for marriage. And I feel like, why can't you do it? Why can't you walk up
but
to him?
But also, I feel like that's because of gender roles that are placed upon us. Because there's also the flip side where a lot of guys don't like it when some girls are too straightforward, like you said, making the first move or proposing marriage. Because traditionally, we think that, you know, like you said, a guy is supposed to go up to the girl. And you know, why you get it. Like, the guy is supposed to go to the girl. The guy is supposed to propose marriage.
Pay for dinner, which is a very big thing, which I disagree with.
I disagree with it too. Split. I think you should just split the bill. Yeah. And I think that because this has been ingrained in us from the beginning, that both men and women think that they need to play into these roles. Girls will think that, you know, maybe I shouldn't make the first move because of XYZ reason, and guys might feel that they need to make the first move. Right.
And I feel like media is still propagating such ideas even today.
Definitely, because no, for sure.
I watch so many sitcoms, and I feel like it's still the guy proposing to the girl. And I still haven't watched a lot of scenes where girls are proposing to guys. I don't know why, I just haven't seen it enough in the media.
Right, and I feel like you see it even in our advertisements. Whenever you see like a cleaning, like a Harpic cleaner or some kind of dishwashing advertisement, it'll always be like
the women
talking about it. But whenever it's an advertisement about mutual funds or ICICI Bank or something like that, you'll always see a guy. So, you know, like you said,
they're so subtle, but
they propagate so much.
Yeah, I agree. Completely agree.
True. But I feel like in the ad sector, I mean, what you said is true, but I think it is getting better. But I think with the whole paying for dinner and buying flowers for someone or making the first move, that is still not improved as much.
Yeah, exactly. And I also feel like if either one decides to, you know, buy flowers, it shouldn't be lauded, you know. For example, what I'm trying to say is that it should just be matter of fact, you know, that both a woman can buy flowers for her significant other as well, and it doesn't have to be seen as, oh, I'm breaking the norm. It should just be the way it is.
It should just be a very normal thing to do.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, let's read the next opinion.
Okay, so the next opinion is that you guys sent to us is being physically comfortable with platonic friends should be normalized. Example, hugs and kisses.
I do hug my friends. And when you say kisses, I think I do kiss them on the cheek. Like, sometimes.
Sometimes, right. I guess, yeah.
I think what this person is trying to say is that as platonic friends, you should be physically comfortable with them. So, you know, physical comfort can be, you know, be okay with cuddling, hugging, etc. And I do agree. I agree.
As long as both people are okay with it, I think, yeah.
I feel like as long as both people are aware that this is a platonic relationship. So, I mean, I don't think anyone should get a wrong idea. That's the only concern. Otherwise, I feel like it's okay.
Yeah.
Same here. I think it's okay. I mean, if you've established that you're platonic friends, and on top of that, you guys are physically comfortable with each other in terms, you know, when we think of physical intimacy, that has so many forms. It's not just one thing that people typically think. Yeah. You know, it's literally like holding hands or, you know, like I said, cuddling or just hugging or just things like that. Like, physical intimacy also has so many levels. I think it's very subjective. I think it just depends on how comfortable you are with your friend. And I do agree, it should be normalized.
I feel so like I'm saying I might be saying this because you know, we are like brainwashed that way, if I might just say. But I feel like I think beyond hugs, it's just not my comfort level, if you know what I mean.
That's like, a personal choice, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you wouldn't shame someone for...
No, I wouldn't shame someone for it, but it's just when I'm like, when it's just a friend, then I don't think I'll go beyond hugs. Or maybe like kiss on cheek, that's the max. But I just feel like I hold this view because I have, like, I have that mindset. So yeah.
Because there's that distinction between platonic.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like to a very large extent, I think women are very physically comfortable with each other and society is okay with it. But when it comes to men, you know, they're shamed for it constantly.
That is very true, yeah.
You know, they're just... So I feel like that should definitely change.
I won't say shamed for it constantly,
changed.
But I think men are just not, like, I mean, it's the same thing, like, men are not supposed to be... You know, it's said that men are not supposed to be very...
But they're also shamed for it. I think they are shamed for it to a certain extent.
Yeah, I get that. I see that, yeah.
Like, yeah, I think society is just way more comfortable with women being comfortable around each other. Physically.
Yeah.
That's true. Definitely.
I'm going to read out an opinion now. So this one says, relationships are overrated. Honestly, platonic friendships are the best. I think platonic relationships are really pure.
I agree. Yeah.
Because you don't... I think you just see the person's personality and you're friends with them and you're there for them. And there's less expectations and...
I won't say relationships are overrated, but I do agree with the part that platonic friendships are, like, the best.
I agree.
What do you think, Sahar?
I think that it's very important to have your... core set of platonic friends, because in my opinion it's like relationships come and go, but romantic relationships, I'm saying, but your platonic best friends, or rather just your best friends, are the ones that kind of stay consistent beyond a certain point, you know. I'm not talking about school and things like that, you know. I think there's a point in life where beyond a certain age, the people that you're friends with, they're most likely going to stay in your life for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So, I think it's important.
Yeah.
I have another opinion. Never date someone from your friend group. What do you guys think about this?
I don't know. I'm conflicted because I think before I was definitely a hard no, like don't date anyone from your friend group because matters get complicated. But I also believe that in some instances, if you really like the person, there's nothing you can do about
it. I agree.
And also, we need to, like, you should be mature enough to recognize that if it doesn't work out, then that shouldn't do anything to your friendship.
Friend group, yeah.
But then also, is that realistic to expect?
I am also conflicted about it, and that's all I'm gonna say.
But I agree with the never date your best friend thing. Like, I feel like, I don't know.
What do you mean by never date your best friend?
Like, don't date your best friend. Because I think a lot of people are just not mature enough.
But what if you start off as best friends with... I know it sounds like I've taken reference from a Wattpad story, but you know, in some instances, those very rare instances, might I add, where you are best friends with someone, but then it gradually kind of
goes into a relationship.
What about that?
I think that's okay, but just...
I think what she means is, like, if you're best friends for like 5 years, then just don't start like dating and like...
I mean, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying maybe don't do it. Because I think it can really mess up friendships, honestly.
Right.
And I feel like you don't just lose them as your significant other. You also lose them as a friend. And that just hurts way more. And you don't necessarily have to, but I feel like a lot of us are just not mature enough to...
Do you think after a breakup, people should like still be friends?
I think they should definitely be friends.
I think it depends on the way in which you broke up. Like, for example, if you had an amicable breakup where you both decided together that, you know, it's better to part ways, then I think it's okay to... Then I think friendship can work. But if the breakup was messy and things like that, then I don't know how you would stay friends. But it is possible to stay friends with an ex.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible to stay friends with an ex.
But I think it depends on the way you broke up with them.
Yeah, yeah, I think it really does depend on the situation. Like, all of these questions really do depend on the situation.
Very subjective.
I agree.
Yeah, and very, like, situational, honestly. Right. Okay, so, Manya?
When fighting in a relationship, don't think of it as you versus them. It's both of you versus the problem. Wow, this requires some thought. This is interesting.
Definitely.
Again, I feel like this is situational.
It is situational.
Because I think in some instances it very well can be you versus them. You versus the other person. But then in some instances, if it's kind of a, like, you know, if it's a communication issue in general, then it's like, our problem is communication.
Yeah.
What do we do about it? But, you know.
Okay, let's just say person A and person B are dating. Person B cheats on person A with C. Then how do you, like, and it's because of maybe A and B were drifting apart, or maybe it could be like a communication gap, as you said, or, you know, something like that. Or they just weren't compatible enough, something like that. I mean, how do you handle that situation? Then when it, like, normally when someone is being cheated on, it's like, oh, you versus me kind of a thing. But how, like, is, do you think this is a both of you versus the problem, or you versus me in this situation?
I think a little bit of both.
I know that might sound like a cop out, but I think so too. It's a little bit of both, because, you know, it's in some instances, I mean, it is controversial to say, but why people cheat is always kind of, in some instances, yes, you can narrow it down. They cheat for XYZ reason, but also in some instances, there are many reasons why someone might resort to that. So I'm not sure, honestly. It's hard to say. I think it very much depends on the situation.
Do you think it's okay to cut someone off because they cheated on their partner and you're friends with both of them? Do you think it's okay to cut someone off because they cheated on their partner? And you're, like, friends with the partner and you're also friends with this person?
I think it depends. Like, I mean, also you need to see how close are you with both the people. I mean, it's not like you're going to be equally close, or are you equally close?
My whole thing is that in relationships, for example, you have two friends who are dating each other and you're friends with both of them. I think that if the two friends do end up breaking up, I think it's just a matter of who you naturally gravitate towards.
That's what I was
saying. In terms of a friendship, like, if you're closer to person, like, you know, one of them, you will naturally, you know, go towards them. But if not, then I think you will find a way to balance it out. But typically, from what I've seen, when two people do break up, the friends, they kind of just
pick sides.
I wouldn't say it's pick sides, though. It's just you're closer to whoever you're closer to. There doesn't have to be, you know, bad blood or issues. It's just who you are closer to. And I think maturity, in my opinion, you know, this might be an unpopular opinion on top of an unpopular opinion, but a lot of people think that, you know, maturity is your ability to kind of look at things from all sides. And, you know, we usually say, like, with relationships, for example, like, not picking a side and stuff. But I also think that it's also mature to recognize that as human beings, we are bound to pick sides. And, like, accepting it is okay. You know what I mean? Because I think, you know, when we were younger, right, in school, we were always taught things like you should be friends with everyone, But as you grow older and you get into high school, that is not realistic. You can be cordial and civil with everyone, but you aren't going to be friends with everyone. And it's natural to have a group of your own. It doesn't have to be like a clique, like, oh, we're all just nasty to everyone else. But as human beings, we are wired to, you know, have
community.
Groups, like community groups.
Hmm.
I know I've taken the conversation from like one point, like point A to point Z, but like, I just think that, you know, it just came up because I was thinking about school and how we're always taught that, you know, cliques and groups are not a good thing. Like, they're often shamed, but I think there's nothing wrong with them, to be honest, because it's natural.
I think there's nothing wrong with them either.
And I feel like, just to add to your point about maturity, I feel like there's also this other thing where people believe that you're mature if you like don't judge, or like if you think of things without judgment. And I feel like I believed that for a very long time, but then I also like learned and understood that's normal human tendency to judge.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can just like get it out of your system. Like,
I agree. And some things are unpardonable. Like,
yeah,
some things are just unpardonable.
Yeah,
and no matter how mature you are, you just cannot. They're just unpardonable, dude.
Exactly. And I think sometimes people confuse being judgmental with having an opinion. I think that's sometimes heavily confused.
Yeah, wow. We really did take the conversation to another tangent.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I know we were talking about relationships, but I just had to talk about that whole group thing because I've thought about it a lot, and yeah, it's just kind of been on my mind.
And also, I think the only thing that changes is like your group will no longer like be together. Like, y'all will no longer be a group. I feel like the third party can pick both the sides, you know? It's
right.
Like, and if you are mature enough, like the person who is in the relationship, they're mature enough, they'll be fine if they, you know, pick both sides. So yeah, I hope that made sense. Okay, who's next to like read?
Okay, so on a lighter note, I actually have one that might get some people riled up over here. But I think it's a good one. So someone said, "I'm sorry, I know some of you love TVD, but I don't like it because everyone ends up dying."
I get that point of view. I get that, honestly, because
I think a lot of people are only watching for Damon. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I think TVD has just so much of death and so much emotional trauma, if I might just say. Just, it's bad, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see why one would get obsessed with it, but
if Damon was not as hot as he is the story good? Is the plot good? Is there good character development?
No, I feel like there's like a very formula show. I think it has that supernatural element, and it's like a typical like vampire show. So there are many people attracted to the whole vampire werewolf element. So I think the show would have been a success without Damon too. Not as much, but yeah, I feel like it would have been a success. But I think after, you know, it's just after, I think, season 2 season 3, it just keeps repeating the storyline. Like, I feel like there's just this certain repetition in the season, so I think you will get over it. So I get it. And I think it took me a long time to realize that TVD is actually not good.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But wait. Hold up. I'm surprised. Why do you say that TVD is not good?
I say, oh, dude, because when I was watching the show, honestly, I loved it. I was very obsessed with it. But the thing is, it played with my own emotions, which is weird to say. But I got so obsessed with the show that I started, like, I almost started living in it. And then it took me so long to get out. And once I was out, I was like, wow, that was one hell of a ride. And yeah, I feel like the episodes are also, like, somewhat sad, like, most of them. It's not good.
Okay, fair. Also, this is not an unpopular opinion, but this is just something that I have to say. Since we're on the topic of relationships, I feel like polyamory should be more normalized. And I've seen these TikToks and these reels where people are like, if you liked X, you would never, if you really love X, you would never fall for Y.
Mm.
And I feel like that's very toxic, because you can be in love with two people, you can be in love with three people, you can be in love with multiple people, right?
I feel like the idea is that everyone's relationship dynamic looks different, you know.
Definitely.
Everyone is not made for monogamy. In so I think we need to stop taking that as the norm. I think
agree.
That's very important. Like, everyone's love or whatever looks different. You
yeah.
know, it sounds weird when you say it in that manner, but it is true though. Like, every people's relationships and their what works for them, what doesn't work for them, their dynamic, etc. It's so subjective.
I agree. And I feel like to a certain extent, almost all of us are a product of polyamory. And it was done in ancient India and it was done before. And it's been done in so many countries and so many communities and tribes.
So many cultures, exactly.
Yeah, it's been a part of our history. And I feel like it should be legalized and it should be normalized.
Yeah, and I think more people need to talk about it. It's not something to be ashamed of or shy away, because it quite literally is in our history. It is part of our history.
I agree.
Yeah. But can you tell me if I'm right? Like, my understanding of this whole concept is that you do have your main significant other, if I can call it that. And then, like, you both have mutually decided that it's totally fine seeing other people. And, like,
there's different forms of
polyamory. That is one part, but
yeah.
it can also be, you know.
Yeah. So
okay,
you can have a primary partner and then you can have multiple secondary partners.
Right.
Okay. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And your partner can also have multiple secondary partners.
Right.
Or both of you are married to each other and you have another partner. And all three of you are in a relationship. Now, that's also polyamory. There's different forms again. You
exactly.
know?
Okay. Got it.
So it doesn't, nothing looks the same. Like you said, Seher, it looks different for everybody.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Polyamory, I think right now it's not legal for three people or more people to get married in any country.
Yeah.
Polyamory is not legal. Polygyny, however, is legal, which means that one man can get married to multiple women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not in all.
I think certain religions allow it.
Okay. So, Nat, will you like to read one?
Yeah. So, the unpopular opinion is, if someone confesses feelings to you, don't treat them weird or different than before.
Okay, how about this? Like, I'll ask you guys a question. If someone were to confess their feelings to you, how would you, and they were like a good friend, then how would you react to it? Like,
I actually agree with this opinion. I think that if someone confesses their feelings for you, you shouldn't shame them for it, or you shouldn't make them feel uncomfortable. Like, you know, and coming to your question, if someone confessed their feelings for you and by any chance you didn't feel that way, I think you should just be upfront about it. That's very important. What I think I don't like is when, you know, people play on that, you know, they kind of hint that maybe I like you, maybe I don't, because that way you're just playing with the other person's
you're leading them on
exactly. And I think it's important that you make it clear to them how you feel.
Honestly, like, I agree with this, but also at the same time, I feel like if there was a real life situation where I was approached and someone told me that, okay, I have a crush on you, I would honestly, my first instinct would be like, I don't know how I would react. Like, I don't know how to, like, act around them, honestly.
I think it's okay in the moment. It's normal to have a bit of tension, but I don't think you should treat them any different.
I don't think you should treat them any different. And I think you can still continue the friendship. Like, it's fine. So they like you. It's going to go away. It's just feelings. If you don't feel the same way, like Sahar said, you should make it clear.
I think maybe talking about it will definitely...
Yeah, I think, and if you need to take a break from that person because things are getting weird, for a little bit, it's okay to take a break.
Yeah, okay. That
you
makes
know?
Sense. Okay, Sahar, would you like to read the next one?
Okay, so the next unpopular opinion that you guys shared with us is, having a crush is way more fun than being in a relationship.
I'll have to agree.
I've never been in a relationship.
I mean...
So I have no idea.
I think when you have a crush, I feel like there's still that expectation that they like you.
Okay.
Maybe. Like, depends. If it's a celebrity crush, you know that's like...
Okay, no, we're talking about like Vikram from 12B crush.
Vikram from 12B. I feel like having a crush is kind of...
If you didn't get that reference, that means you haven't seen, like, you haven't heard the previous episode. So go check that out. But okay,
Nat. And her promotion strategies.
Nat, continue.
But anyway, I feel like, I'm not sure. I think I want something more stable.
I think being in a relationship would be better than having a crush, because I feel like when you have a crush, you expect the other person to like you back. And when they don't, it kind of hurts.
And
you.
Also, crushes are one-sided.
Yeah, they're one-sided.
Crushes, until sense. You have told the other person that, you know, until the other person or the other people that you have a crush on have told you that they also like you back, it is one-sided.
It is one-sided. And you, I feel like you're always constantly expecting them to like you back.
And you're, and it's almost like a if situation, like, do they not... But
when you're in a relationship with someone or people, you just
assuming
that
it's
like
a
you.
Happy, healthy relationship.
Yeah,
they like you. And
yeah, I think I'm just more about the adventure and the like funny the thrills of it. Yeah,
the thrills of it. No, man, I just want something stable.
I think consistent crushes are torturous.
Commitment scares me, so I'm gonna peace out from the relationship.
Commitment scares me too, but I don't think I can torture myself by being like, oh,
yeah,
I can't crush on you. Especially if your crush is taken.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, no.
First of all, I've never really liked anyone for more than like a week, dude.
Mm.
I just can't do it. You know, it's like I like them and then I'm like, and then I observe them for like a week and I'm like, they were not even that good. Maybe I just need to eat a donut, and then I eat a donut and everything's good, you know.
Nice. Moral of the story, eat a donut.
Always eat a donut.
Relationships are fickle. Donuts are consistent.
Yes. Donuts don't leave you.
Yes. Preach. Okay, guys, let's end that relationship segment and move on to some lighthearted ones. Okay, someone has said, don't kill me, but friends is super, super overrated.
Thank you.
Okay, Seher, please. Okay, we discussed this in our previous episode. Go check that out.
The promotions have begun,
but yes, I agree with you. I am with you. I support you. And I am here for you.
I agree with you.
I don't. Moving on. What else do we have? Justin Bieber sucks.
Okay.
We had Kendall Jenner sucks last episode. This time, Justin Bieber sucks.
Damn, guys. What did these people
I think they're
do
just
to you?
Sending the hate comments here. Like,
this is not an outlet for hate comments, but I'm indifferent.
I think he's all right.
I'm indifferent. I'm not a fan. I'm not a hater. I like some of his songs, the popular ones.
I feel like he really does attract the mass, to be honest. Like,
the masses.
He does like release some bops. But okay, let's move on to another one.
Okay, so the next one says, I feel some family vlogger should really be thrown into jail. Oh my god. Okay.
No, actually, I strongly agree with this person.
Why? Family vlogger should be thrown into
jail. I don't
jail.
Think family vlogging should be allowed, because I think, first of all, it's an invasion of privacy, and
but
you're not...
It's not invasion of privacy. I mean, they are vlogging their own life.
But they have not taken their kids' consent. Like, you can't... A three-year-old
can't consent and be like,
oh, have my life out there on the internet, record the first time my diaper was changed and stuff like that. Like, would you want that out there?
Okay.
If you're a baby,
that...
I think that I would not want. Like, you know, the problem is that for viewers, it's very entertaining, but, you know, you... I've read so many cases where family vloggers exploit their own kids for views. They make them do things like, you know, okay, now react to this this way. And they also overwork their kids behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, how long they're filming.
That's true.
How long a camera is shoved in their face. You know, it's all an act. So I get what you're saying. I definitely think that family vlogging is a little strange.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay.
But I think if the kids are of age and they consent to it, I think it's fine then.
Yeah, but for that you need, like, people are vlogging babies, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's...
No, yeah, I think that's... Okay, so now the next unpopular opinion is, sure, The Kissing Booth is a terrible series, but don't lie, most of us have seen at least one of them.
I agree with this.
the three movies, if not been totally hooked to the end, sort of because of Jacob Elordi too.
Okay, that I disagree with.
I don't understand the Jacob Elordi factor.
No, like this person is saying that Jacob Elordi is part of the reason why
people watch it.
Yeah, but I don't agree with that.
Okay, you don't agree with it.
Yeah, even I don't.
I don't see it.
I just have to say this. I see it.
I just have to say this. Oh my god, I might sound so shallow because of this, but the height difference is just not it for me.
Also, I was rooting for Marco the whole time.
What? I didn't even watch the second movie to begin
with. But I know Marco was better.
What? I didn't get. Yeah, Marco, yeah, from the second movie.
Yeah. I haven't watched the second movie.
I just feel like.
But I'm rooting for Marco.
I just think that Noah from The Kissing Booth had crippling bad boy syndrome. Like, you know, oh I'm a bad God, boy.
Yes. Also, it's very
fixing.
Yes. It's also very what party to fall in love with your best friend's brother.
Yes. It literally feels like the story was constructed around a Wattpad story. Like, their source material was a Wattpad story.
That is sad.
But
guys.
No, I do agree with you that most of, even though The Kissing Booth, objectively speaking, is terrible acting, storytelling wise, most of us have seen at least one of the films. Couldn't agree more.
I agree. Yep, same. Okay, now we're just gonna speed round. Okay, so let's just start with Suits after season 3 was puke emoji, puke emoji, puke emoji.
Never watched it, no idea.
I have to disagree. What about you, Sam?
I've not watched Suits, unfortunately.
I feel like after season 6, it was puke emoji. Okay. Let's move on. I found likeness to ramen than Maggie. So basically prefer ramen over Maggie.
Agreed.
Okay. Let's go next.
More flavor.
B99 is a classic and always will be.
100%.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Nat will agree to that for sure.
Aggressive agreement.
Slowed songs are better than normal. I feel like some of them, I don't agree. I don't think it's all the songs for
me. Same. Depends.
I think it just gets boring if it's too slow.
I agree. I think it depends for me. It depends on the song, the artist, my mood.
Nutella is just not it. That's probably going to trigger Mania a lot. I just know it. Sorry.
Disagree.
Yeah, same.
Nutella is just it.
Nutella is it.
Exactly. Okay, so you guys say it as Nutella?
I say Nutella.
Yikes, okay.
I don't know, what do you say?
I say Nutella.
I think it comes from hazelnut, so it should be Nutella.
Oh, ooh, wow.
I don't know, I just say Nutella because my mom says Nutella.
Fun, okay. TikTokers are not singers and shouldn't get more attention than actual talented singers.
Agreed. I agree.
100% agree.
Dixie D'Amelio was just not it.
D'Amelio.
I'm done.
Mint chocolate chip ice cream is a terrible ice cream.
Yes.
It's not.
I don't think so.
I hate
it. It's
mint
okay, but it's not the best, but it's all right.
Yeah, I don't think I hate it, but it's
it tastes all right. Like toothpaste.
It really doesn't taste like toothpaste.
I don't like
mint. I think it also depends on the ratio to the mint to chocolate chip ratio is important.
Right.
It needs to be a good balance. Like if it's just mint, then may as well just eat gum.
This is gonna trigger a lot of people. Karela and Dhonli are so good.
No.
Karela and Dhonli are disgusting.
No.
Oh my god. Someone loves Pan ice cream.
Okay, Pan ice cream is probably disgusting. I also don't eat Pan.
I have never eaten Pan.
I tried this once and I puked it out, so yeah.
I mean, I tried, so I didn't like it, so now I don't eat it.
I've never eaten Pan. And the thought of Pan ice cream, never mind.
My parents are Pan enthusiasts.
Whatever happened to the good old chocolate ice cream?
Okay, let's move on. The Flash is boring. I feel like we've already discussed this.
I agree.
Okay, yeah, I think I kind of agree.
I think there's only so much you can do with a superhero concept. You can't go on for seasons. Even Supergirl got so boring.
The nutrition about food is so wrong. We've been lied to about everything. I feel like there is not enough context to talk about this. Like, I don't get what the person's trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. Like, do you mean that our perception of what is healthy and what is not is warped, or I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay. Pear or carrot with dip?
What sort of dip are you talking about?
Exactly.
Like sauce, mayonnaise, hummus.
With hummus, it's great, but
yeah, carrot
any other
and
thing...
hummus is yum.
Yeah. Yeah, please specify which dip.
DMS.
Okay. I'm just gonna say the last one now. Atif Aslam is a better singer than Arijit Singh.
Okay.
Seher took a minute to process.
I think Atif Aslam is a phenomenal singer, but I also think Arijit Singh is a phenomenal singer.
I'm not sure either. I like them both. I truly enjoy their music equally.
I agree. Yeah. I think if we were to select between two songs, that would be easier, but...
But I can't choose between the two artists.
Singers.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I agree.
Okay, so I think we've covered pretty much most of the unpopular opinions that we received via our Instagram. If we did forget to cover some of them, don't worry. In the future, we probably will be making a part 3. So thank you guys so much for sending in your unpopular opinions and being super interactive on our Instagram page. We tried something new and we're so glad it worked out because this was so much fun to record. Please do DM us any feedback or any questions you might have. Our Instagram is always open and we'll be happy to talk to you guys. Okay, so on that note, we have come to an end on this week's episode of the TBH podcast. Thank you to our listeners for joining us and for your continued support. Make sure to tune in for another exciting episode very soon. We're your hosts,
Manya,
Seher,
and Nat,
signing off.